This is the Danny Parkin Show.
That it is. Thanks for hanging out. It's the Danny Parkin Show, Super Bowl postgame edition, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 855-212-4227. Follow and interact with the network at CBS Sports Radio or myself at Danny Parkins on Twitter. We'll get back to your calls in a little bit. I heard my man Greg Caserta do the sports update, and he says, oh, they're already disrespecting or counting out the Patriots next year because the Chiefs are preseason favorites to win the Super Bowl. All right, good. Then they can play the we aren't the favorites, we're the underdog, we're still here BS nonsense next year. They were preseason favorites to win the Super Bowl this year. That was the most annoying thing about this Patriots team. That, yes, I bet against them every step of the way. That is true. And I lost every step of the way because I'm dumb. That is true. However, they were favored in the damn Super Bowl. They were preseason favorites to win the Super Bowl. They were favored over the Chargers. They were not favored against the Chiefs, but they were favored over the Rams. And once you have a Super Bowl ring for each finger, before tonight that they got one for the second thumb, but they had one for each finger on their hand, you forfeit the right to play the nobody believes in us card anymore. Or if you do play it, you got to get these jokes. You get called corny. That is some cornball behavior to do the, we're still here, we're still here. Shut up. Listen, good for them. The eighth best Patriots team of the era won the Super Bowl. It's a remarkable accomplishment for them, and it's incredibly embarrassing for the rest of the NFL. But this, oh my God, nobody believes in us. Stop. Greatest coach, most accomplished quarterback going up against a 33-year-old head coach and a 24-year-old quarterback, and you are the favorites. You can't play the underdog card when you're the Patriots. I'm sorry. I just refuse. Now, if you are the literal underdog like they were against the Chiefs, I still think it's corny because you had a Super Bowl ring on each finger. Now, you could play the nobody likes us card. You could play the us against the world card. You could play the everybody is sick of us. No one likes us anymore. We're the bad guys, you know, like the Kobe Bryant Black Mamba mentality. You can play that card if you need to fabricate some media nonsense like all athletes do to get themselves hyped up and motivated. But the underdog card, really, bro, when you're the Patriots? No, it's nonsense. Sorry. This was, to me, a boring Super Bowl, but a great football season. We had, at times, record-setting passing, record-setting offense. We have a new face of the league MVP in Pat Mahomes. We have a really exciting crop of young quarterbacks. I mean, think of all the young quarterbacks that franchises are happy with. Philly's happy with Carson Wentz. Chicago's happy with Mitch Trubisky. Houston's happy with Deshaun Watson. KC's happy with Pat Mahomes. LA's happy with Jared Goff, tonight notwithstanding. Cleveland's happy with Baker Mayfield. Baltimore's at least interested in Lamar Jackson. Buffalo's at least interested in Josh Allen. Arizona's at least interested in Josh Rosen. The Jets thrilled with Sam Darnold. That's 10 right there off the top of my head. Not to mention, you know, Andrew Luck coming back 29 years old, feeling really good about himself. Like the 30 and under crop, really strong. The 25 and under crop, amazingly strong. The league's in a really good place. This is a good season for the NFL. Controversy Championship Sunday, but I think we had the four best teams all playing A-minus football. The thing that sucked about tonight was that we don't know if they were the best teams based on the results of Championship Sunday, but they're in the conversation, and neither team played A-plus football. Nowhere near it. It just didn't feel like the Super Bowl. the lead up to it wasn't that exciting. There wasn't that much hype because so much of it was about looking back to the controversy, especially in the Saints-Rams game. And then the halftime show was boring. The commercials were boring. The game itself was boring. Like, if you want to say that was a great Super Bowl because it was the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever and there were 14 punts and the best part of that Super Bowl was because Bill Belichick made a strategic switch to go from primarily man-to-man to more of a split where he was 60% man, 40% zone, and that's what threw Jared Goff off of his game. Like, cool, you're not going to remember that in 5 years. You might not remember that in 5 weeks. So people are going to fall all over themselves in my business tomorrow being like, oh, what, you don't like defense? You youngins, you millennials, only entertained by your fantasy football and your gambling and your high scoring. Well, part of that's true, by the way. Offensive football is more exciting. 54-51 Rams-Chiefs was a more exciting game than 13-3 Patriots-Rams. I'm sorry, it just was. There were defensive scores all over the place in Chiefs-Rams. This was a poorly played football game with a brilliant defensive game plan and two quarterbacks that didn't have a touchdown and one quarterback that was totally overwhelmed by the moment. And the veteran quarterback who's been there many times before came up big with a great fourth quarter drive. That's fine. We were due for a clunker. We'd had a great run of Super Bowls. This was a clunker. It happens. But don't try to twist it into like, this is what football was like back in my day. This is now an outlier. People are going to try to spin you on it and tell you that it was great. This is the outlier. Last year, it took 41 to win the Super Bowl. Last week, it was 37-33 in the AFC Championship game. Takes a lot of points to score in this modern NFL to win consistently. This wasn't a defense wins championships type of situation. I think if you played that game 10 times and you said Patriots are only scoring 13 points in all 10 of those games, I think they win the Super Bowl one time. I think we saw an outlier tonight. Now, that doesn't mean they're not the champs. It's not taking anything away from them. It's just it was a nondescript, not memorable game. No one will call this an all-timer. It wasn't special like that. But Super Bowl postgame rolls on in the Danny Parkin Show, 855-212-4CBS. Is the number. Let's see here. In the great city of Chicago, my hometown, Joe is on CBS Sports Radio. What up, Joe?
Hey, Danny, how are you?
Good, buddy.
Good. Great game. Real quick, I agree. This was a defensive masterpiece by Belichick on display tonight. You know, the Patriots are known to take away their adversaries' most dangerous asset, and I think that was McVay. I think he took McVay out of the game and defensively, and that's how they won. Secondly, in regards to the your comments on systems, listening to you describe it, it sounds like it's a bad word or it's something derogatory, but the NFL is the NFL because of the various systems that have been, on display throughout the years. You know, the T formation, I formation, West Coast offense, run and shoot, you know, it's all about systems. And I think the main system that the Patriots put for us is a system of adaptation and, just approaching their opponents, you know.
I agree. That's why I go out of my way, and I'm going to let you respond, Joe. But like that's why it's not to me a knock on Brady. It's a compliment to Belichick because I think his system is so great and so advanced that it's arguably the only time in NFL history with a truly great quarterback that I'd give more credit to the coach than the quarterback. The other one that you'd think of is maybe Bill Walsh and Joe Montana. Like, Joe Montana is great. He was clutch like Brady. But Bill Walsh was this innovator, this mastermind. It's not a knock to say that you played with an all-time great coach. It's just fortunate. Like, Tom Brady was the 199th pick in the draft.
Whereas Peyton Manning was the number one pick in the draft, and he went to four Super Bowls with four different coaches. Like, Peyton Manning was the system. I don't think we can say the same thing about Tom Brady. And I don't think that's a knock. I think it's a credit to his coach. But go ahead.
It's tough to, you know, analyze it. But, yeah, you brought up Manning. And Manning, how long did it take Manning to even get past Brady and the Patriots? They had to change the game to allow for Manning and the Colts to advance in through the playoffs. They couldn't get past that defense, that lockdown, dirty defense. They couldn't do it, you know. So the league had to change to allow for Manning to, you know, to be, you know, to get past the Patriots. And I think it's a brilliant thing.
Joe, it is a brilliant thing. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in the history of the sport. But if you were arguing against me last week saying that Brady's more responsible for the Patriots dynasty than Belichick, this game did not help your cause. Bill Belichick just held the number one offense in the NFL over the last two seasons to 3 points. That is remarkable. Tom Brady had nothing to do with that. He had nothing to do with confusing Jared Goff or limiting them or sacking him four times. That he had nothing to do with it. He didn't score a touchdown. Brady was not good tonight. And by the way, that happens, right? Like Ben Roethlisberger, multiple-time Super Bowl champion. His first one, he wasn't very good in that game. Peyton Manning, one of his Super Bowls, wasn't very good late in his career. It was much more about the Broncos defense and Von Miller. But that's okay. Sometimes they won because of Brady. Sometimes they won and Brady was along for the ride. This was one where he was along for the ride. This was a Belichick ring. This was a special one for Bill. Not that anyone really disagrees that he's the best coach in the history of the sport, but this one's pretty high up on the list of Belichick accomplishments, considering the lack of overall talent on his team in terms of individual superstars, the age of his quarterback, and the spectacular nature of the offense that he was going up against, and the modern NFL rules that favor offense. To hold that offense in 2019 to 3 points is spectacular. One of the great coaching performances in the history of the sport. It really was. It was a great, great season and capper for Bill Belichick. That guy doesn't seem like he's slowing down. And that's what's terrifying for fans of the other 31 teams. If this Patriots team can win a Super Bowl relatively easily because they've got the hoodie, because they got Dirty Bill, whew, that's scary for the rest of the league, man. This Patriots team can win when so many other teams have so much going for them and seem like their future is right out there in front of us. This felt like a passing of the baton year. And now who knows how long it'll take for the Patriots to give it up. Super Bowl postgame rolls on. Still plenty of time for your calls. It's the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
Yes, you are. It's the Danny Parkin Show. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Still just baffled that Nate Burleson and Adam Schefter have Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame. It's a weird leap. He's second all-time in playoff receiving yards. He now is a Super Bowl MVP. He's got multiple rings. You know, a very good football player. Perfect in that system. He'd be good elsewhere. He's great in New England. And he's a nice football player. He's in the Hall of Very Good. He's not in the Hall of Fame. Now, if this was basketball and everybody makes the Basketball Hall of Fame, we'd have a different conversation. But it's Canton, and it took Chris Carter 4 years to make it after he was eligible. Isaac Bruce still isn't in. Julian Edelman has 30 career touchdowns in 9 seasons. Ain't going to Canton. I don't even know if he gets a discount. Like, he probably has to pay full price. So that's a stretch by my football media brethren, many of whom I respect. But that's just silly. I'm already looking forward to next football season. You know when it hits you that football's over? Such a terrible feeling. Baseball's offseason is so terrible. If you don't have an NBA team that's worth a damn, which I don't right now because I'm a Bulls fan, it's just I love the NBA playoffs and I love the NBA, but when you got no team and that's like your main point of entry into the league, oof, it can be tough, especially until you get to the playoffs. I love March Madness, but we're still a ways away from that. That's second, third week of March. So yeah, we're 6 weeks away from March Madness. Manny Machado and Bryce Harper haven't signed. Pitchers and catchers report in 9 days. But like the beginning point, spring training sucks. I'm sorry. It's cool because it's a reminder that the weather's going to get warm again and baseball's coming, and it's awesome if you go, but nothing actually happens. And if any news comes out of spring training, it's always bad news because it's an injury. But I'm consistent with that across all sports. I hate preseason football. I hate training camp. I hate spring training. I hate exhibition games. Keep it. I watch enough sports that actually count. I can't watch sports that have no stakes attached to it. I know that it matters for the teams, but nah, you can keep it. But that feeling when football's over, it's like, oh, no. I got to, like, talk to my wife and go outside and exercise. It's terrible. It's terrible. Football being over is sad, man. Especially this season was so good. And part of the reason that people say this season was so good is because, you know, they got back to football and they took the politics out of the game. Even though, you know, the president of the United States today on CBS said that he wouldn't want his kid playing football. Even though last year he said that they were making football too soft. So, you know, figure that one out. Anyone else also think it was interesting that they showed the social justice initiative with Arthur Blank and Roger Goodell in the first quarter at about the 6-minute mark, and they had Dr. King's family out there for the coin toss, but Colin Kaepernick can't get a job? Now, I know that many of you are tired of the Colin Kaepernick conversation, but like, imagine being a victim of systemic racism. I'd imagine that would be pretty tiring too. Y'all got tired over black guy taking a knee because black people were dying unnecessarily at the hands of the state. It's crazy. The audacity of the quarterback to take a knee during the national anthem while simultaneously respecting the troops. And we saw some of that quarterback play this year that was terrible. But it felt like Kaepernick still lingered. If you were paying attention, like the reason why I thought the Kaepernick story, beyond the obvious reasons that I just mentioned, was so big is because it's, I want to feel like I'm watching a meritocracy when I watch pro sports. And you can't tell me that some of the QBs that were signed were better than him. It sucks that NFL teams just made a decision that said, we think that Colin Kaepernick is bad for business, so we're not signing him. And I didn't think that was how football worked. I thought it was, we sign the best players, and the best players play in this league. And so it was part of the halftime show today with wondering if there was going to be a protest and a lot of artists passing on the Super Bowl and should they have protested during the national anthem or during the halftime show. It was like, it was just around it. And it's just terrible that a guy who peacefully protested was banned from the NFL. People are like, oh, you can't prove collusion, or he wasn't good, or what. He was good enough to get a contract. He was. He is good enough to get a contract. And so I hate hypocrisy. If you listen to this show consistently week to week, I just hate hypocrisy. So the league that thinks that Colin Kaepernick's bad for business celebrates social justice initiatives and brings Dr. King's family
onto the field during the game. It's just leaves me queasy. I don't like it. And I feel bad for that dude. I really do. But, you know, I love this football season, but it had nothing to do with the fact that we weren't talking about the national anthem anymore. That didn't bother me at all. I thought that it was a discussion worth having. The reason I love this football season is because guys stayed healthy. Those rule changes worked. Catch, no catch became a thing of the past. We had a little bit of helmet-to-helmet controversy, but by and large, it's crazy. I actually thought by and large before the NFC Championship game that it was a well-officiated season because of what they solved catch, no catch. I thought we have a new face of the league, which is exciting. We have great young quarterbacks. Scoring was up. Ratings were up. The games were exciting. Primetime games were exciting. We had great Thursday night, Monday night, and Sunday night football games all year long. Great championship Sunday. Like I thought it was a great football season, and I'm bummed to see it go. I thought it ended on a low note, a boring note with the Super Bowl, but overall, I thought it was a spectacular bounce back season for the NFL in a lot of ways. And I'm a huge NBA fan. I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm a huge college sport fan. But all that talk of the NFL is dying or the NFL is going to be overtaken in America by the NBA, you come at the king, you best not miss. My man Omar Little taught me that. I think the NFL is going to be king 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 25 years from now. It's atop a perch high atop the other sports. The NBA is coming. The NBA is trying to get there, but this was a great football season, and the league is in very, very good hands. You know how, like, after Peyton, there's like Peyton Manning, there's a little bit of concern. There's this run of quarterbacks, like, between Andrew Luck and like Carson Wentz, like, that run of QBs wasn't very good for the league. But since Carson Wentz, these couple classes after it, they've been great. And I think part of it's just that the NFL coaches have figured out to run more college-style offenses so that it's an easier transition for college QBs into the NFL. So I think the league's just gotten smarter. But it feels like it's a really good time for quarterbacks and football right now. So even though the Super Bowl was a bit of a dud, I'm sorry to see it go. We'll finish with your calls. It's Super Bowl post-game on the Danny Parkin Show.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
It is the Danny Parkin Show, Super Bowl post-game edition, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Central Time weekly. You can listen to me during the week, 1 to 6 p.m. Central Time on 670 The Score in Chicago. You could follow me on Twitter, at Danny Parkins. That's where Joe tweets in. Parkins, how on earth do you have a national show? Your salty Super Bowl coverage is hilarious. Well, they gave it to me because of my great looks and charm, Joe, and they pay me to do it, too. I know, it's a real racket I've got going on here. But I got news for you. If you think I'm the only one who's going to say that that was a boring Super Bowl, don't watch sports tomorrow. Trust me, I'm not alone on that one. However, the NFL has released the game notes from the Elias Sports Bureau after the game. We've got some Super Bowl records that we can go over. There's only been 53 of these, so every Super Bowl there are superlatives and records that are set, right? Because it's not that big of a sample. So let's go over some of the records before we go back to your calls on Super Bowl post-game edition of the Danny Parkin Show. We know that it was a record for most Super Bowls ever for Tom Brady in terms of a player to win them. We know that it was the oldest quarterback on a winning team, most games for a coach with Bill Belichick, most wins for a coach, Bill Belichick, oldest coach for a winning team in Bill Belichick. So we've known all those. We know that Johnny Hecker had the longest punt in the game. But if you thought it was a great game, here are some of the other records that we had. Fewest points in a game. Fewest points in a game for the winning team. Fewest points through three quarters. Fewest touchdowns in a game. Fewest kickoff returns in a game. Most consecutive drives ending with a punt in Super Bowl history. That would be 8 for the Rams, so that's exciting. Also, fewest points in a game ever, the Rams with 3. Fewest touchdowns in a game ever, the Rams with 0. There was one most that was interesting, I thought. Most first downs by penalty in a game for a team ever, 4 by the Patriots. Fewest passing touchdowns ever in a Super Bowl.
And, oh, this was a good one. Fewest fumbles lost. So these are not exactly exciting records. I'm sorry. Most consecutive drives ending with a punt? Fewest points ever? That's not great football. The best part of this game, if you want to talk about good football, was Bill Belichick's defensive game plan against the number one offense in the NFL over the last two seasons. He destroyed boy wonder Sean McVay, and I'm a McVay guy. So it pains me to say it. Team Millennial. I'm 32, he's 33. Let's go. Ride or die for our generation. We're not all just Instagram and Facebook people, though we all do love that, got to admit. But tough day for the young guys. This was a Super Bowl for the old timers. This was a Super Bowl for the 5 p.m. dinner reservation crowd. Wade Phillips had a great game. Tom Brady had a great game. Bill Belichick had a great game. Good day for the old timers. 855-212-4227 is the number. Let's go to Delray Beach and welcome Manny to the Danny Parkin Show. What up, Manny?
Hey, man, I agree with you. This was the most exciting season of football in my life, and I'm 44 years old. I'm a Jets fan. I was actually rooting for the pass, but this was Belichick's win. I mean, you know, I wanted Brady to come in and get, like, 10 touchdowns, whatever, a million yards, whatever. But at the end of the day, this it's all about Belichick. Like, it doesn't matter if Brady retires or not. Belichick has to retire for the league to have a chance on anything. I mean, the guy just to come up with a plan and beat anybody.
And it does seem like he's playing a different game, right? Like he's been to what, four of the last five Super Bowls? Like it just seems like it's a different game for him.
He's playing checkers and he's playing chess. I mean, it's a totally different thing. And I realize that, you know, I hate to root for the past. It's the first time I ever root for them. But at the end of the game, I realized, I said, holy crap. Belichick has to retire for the AFC East ever to have a chance on anything.
Listen, man, I do not envy you, and I appreciate the call. Being in that division is horrifying. It's like being in the Eastern Conference with the Jordan Bulls in the 90s. Reggie Miller, no shot. Patrick Ewing, no shot. It was just unfair. Like, if that's where you came up and you were a good player in the East in the 90s, you just had no chance. And the AFC East has been dominated for going on two decades by these guys. When Brady got hurt and was out for the season, they didn't make the playoffs, but they still won 11 damn games. They are just, it's a remarkable thing. And I'll be honest with you, I want to see Belichick coach after Brady just to test the theory. But at some point, age will catch up to him, and he'll lose a step. And then will he have the awareness to step aside? And the plan for after Brady's in San Francisco right now on a $140-something million contract. Like the plan was to get rid of Brady and go to Jimmy Garoppolo, but Tom Brady is reverse aging because of the TB12 method, which involves weird stretching, blueberries, glass of water, or, you know, maybe something else. Who knows? But, you know, it's weird. It's kind of a weird thing. He seems to be ageless. But, yeah, I'd like to test the theory and see Belichick with another QB who's come up through the system and see if he can do it without Tom. I'd be interested. 855-212-4227 is the number. Let's go to Niagara Falls and welcome Jason to the Danny Parkin Show. What up, Jason?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First, a couple of things. I just want to comment about your last segment there. Colin Kaepernick, yeah, I'm a Phil fan. We had Peterman and Anderson on our roster. I think Kaepernick would have been a lot better than that.
Dude, listen, I got people on the line. I don't really want to do a full Colin Kaepernick show right now, but so you just said that about the Bills. I got a guy on the line that says that Washington should have signed him. I got another guy on the line who said Miami should have signed him. They might not ever prove collusion, because you got to prove that they all work together. But the fact that the NFL decided that it would be a bad business decision to sign that guy is just it's a disgrace that history will judge unbelievably poorly. So go on with your call. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think it's equal Brady and Belichick together, because I think Brady, his accuracy, he's one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the league. And I just think you're playing Brady and or sorry Belichick and Garoppolo. I don't think it's a big. I think teams when they hear they're playing six-time Super Bowl champ or not, you've been a Super Bowl 9 times. I think it gets in their head a little bit. When you got both of them on the same team, to take one away, I don't know if it's the same. It's the same team. But I do think Brady is just an equal to Belichick on a team.
Listen, I appreciate the call. It's an unanswerable question. It's an ultimate sports talk radio topic. They're both all-time greats, right? We all understand that. If you would have taken out Tom Brady and put in hundreds of other quarterbacks throughout league history, they would not have the same success. Brady is obviously great, and he obviously has the thing between the ears to play for a demanding coach. It's not easy. Not easy to put aside the ego and have a coach get as much credit as Belichick gets. Not easy to be demeaned in front of the team. Not easy to give back money. Not easy to play within that system. Brady is obviously the perfect guy for the system. I'm merely pointing out what I think is obvious. There are more talented quarterbacks than Brady, whether it be mobility, arm strength, whatever. And that Belichick was a bigger part of this Super Bowl than Brady was. This was not Brady's best year. He's had 10 seasons better than it was this year. This is not the most talented Pats team. And in this game, it was much more of a defensive dominating performance and a game plan thing. He confused Sean McVay to no end. That's Belichick. It's not Brady. And so all I am saying is that this particular dynasty, and remember, coaching matters more in football than it does in any other sport. We all know that, right? There's more players on the field. There's more strategy. It's more week-to-week game planning, right? In the NBA, you know the opposing team sets if you scout it well. In baseball, it's pitcher against hitter. It's kind of a one-on-one sport. It's an individual sport that masquerades as a team sport. Basketball, the best player in the world, LeBron James, he gets his team to the championship 8 years in a row in the Eastern Conference because he's one of five on the floor. The best team in the NBA wins it basically every year because the players make up such a high percentage of the guys on the court. In football, coaching matters because you got a game plan that's very specific to the Chiefs, and then it's an entirely different game plan 2 weeks later for the Rams. That's coaching. But it's still quarterbacks make a big enough impact that I don't give that one out a lot. The coach being more responsible for a team's sustained greatness than a quarterback. I think Belichick is a singular example in modern football. I really do. And people hear that as a knock on Brady because they just want to say GOAT, that he's the GOAT. He's not. He's the most accomplished. He's the most clutch. He's who I'd want down four, one timeout, 2 minute warning, needing a touchdown, drive the length of the field. But in terms of who has the most God-given talent at playing quarterback? Who is the best talent? I mean, for me, it's Aaron Rodgers. Pat Mahomes looks like he might be that dude. Peyton Manning going to four Super Bowls with four different coaches is a remarkable accomplishment. Brady's in the conversation. He's in the team photo, but he's not the most talented. He's the most accomplished. He's the best winner. He's the most clutch. To me, that's enough praise. For some reason, for most people, because that's a minority opinion, it comes across as hate. I don't see it that way. Let's go to the great state of Texas and welcome Kenny to CBS Sports Radio. What up, Kenny?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, a couple things real quick. I think it was really nice that the refs had a really clean game, so there was no controversy that way.
They also just didn't really throw the flag.
The commercials were pretty bad this Super Bowl, but I did like the Anthony Lynn coach one where he met the first responders that saved his life.
Yeah, that was great.
And then the last thing I think with this, the system with Brady, I think a lot of people forget is, you know, your Aaron Rodgers, your Drew Brees, your Peyton Manning, they had these elite wide receivers that were deep threats. And you have Tom Brady, who the real last threat who he had was Randy Moss, and he makes these no-name wide receivers better. And I think that's a testament, one, to Bill Belichick, but I also think it kind of elevates Brady more than some people give him credit for, because if you send some of these receivers to some other teams, how well are they really going to do? And I'll leave it at that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate the call, man. Good call. Well, that's part of the Patriots system that I think is genius. And Brady, by the way, has a huge part in building the system. He's been there for forever. But the pass catchers for the Patriots, what I don't think a lot of people give enough credit to is they go get these guys by design. And these guys all have a similar characteristic, and that is short area quickness. Snap, throw. Snap, they're open. Julian Edelman is not the fastest wide receiver in the NFL. Far from it. But you know what he is? Agile. Dude can cut on a dime and get open in an instant. Same thing with James White. Gronk is always open because he's a refrigerator that was taught how to catch. So when you put James White, Julian Edelman, and Rob Gronkowski on the field, and you put Brady in the shotgun, and you got five good offensive linemen, and they've all been in the system together for forever, and Brady throws the ball in 2.51 seconds, which is fifth fastest release time, snap to throw in the entire league, and you got three elite short area quickness guys who are open immediately, that's why they don't need the deep threat. Now, the best season of his career, he had the best deep threat in the history of the NFL in Randy Moss. They would like it. That's why they go out and get a Philip Dorsett, or they try to take a flyer on Josh Gordon. Like, they would like some outside the numbers help. Who wouldn't? But they don't have it, and it doesn't affect them that much because Brady is deadly accurate, and the dude never gets hit. The Rams defensive line actually had a pretty good game today. They were disruptive, right? Blowing up jet sweeps to Cordarrelle Patterson, getting in the backfield, forcing five punts for the Patriots. They were fairly disruptive. You know how many times Brady was sacked? Once. Dude's ridiculous.